Hello, and welcome to another instalment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments, which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
So, Dave, you know the game Two Truths and a Lie?
I do indeed. I've played it many times, certainly in my teaching career with children and variations of it.
Right. Yeah, well, for anybody who isn't initiated, it's where you tell three facts about yourself or incidents, two of which must be true and one of which is untrue. And then it's for other people to discover which is the untrue one.
Which is the untrue one.
So we're going to take it in turns to reveal three I wished I hadn't about ourselves, one of which in each of our cases is false. Yes. So, Dave, do you want to lead us on?
And indeed, and in certain cases, though they may be true, I think in my own case, I think some of the ones that are true, I'm tentatively saying I wish I hadn't, but certainly at least one of them is a definite I wish I hadn't anyway. Yeah. So here, my first story, if you like, my first foray into this takes me back to when I was away abroad and on a visit to it was an academy for Air Force cadets in America.
Yeah, I'm beginning to believe this isn't true.
And on this visit, I went to, at the end of this tour, it was quite an impressive building, and they had a gift shop, as all these places, everywhere has a gift shop these days, doesn't it? And I went in the gift shop and I looked around and did the normal thing that everyone does of picking things up and saying, how much? How much? And decided, I think in the end I bought a postcard or something because I thought, this is just ridiculously priced, all these things in here. Lovely and good quality. But so then I went to exit, not through the front door that we'd come in through, but through the back door, which said exit on the top. Walked through the back door and a voice suddenly said, hold it please, sir, stand right still. And I looked up and there were two police cars, both with officers pointing rifles.
Definitely
in my direction.
True, definitely true.
And another one round the side of it with a revolver. And I said to my wife at the time, whatever you do, do not move a muscle. Because we have guns pointing at us. And I didn't. I stood absolutely stock still, my heart beating out of my mouth, basically. And after about what seemed like ages, but was probably about a minute and a half of walkie-talkie connection between the police and someone else, the man then said, it's okay, sir. You may go. And I did. And it turned out that this had been an exercise that they were carrying out where communication had been very poor. And the people who were supposed to tell the police they weren't going to do the exercise that day had forgotten.
Okay.
So.
I just sounds like Bonnie and Dave, really.
Bonnie, yeah. Indeed, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to reserve judgment on that because it started off sounding very improbable, but then somehow something made me believe it.
It's the detail, but you see, the detail could be because I'm able to embellished stories.
The devil's in the detail, isn't it? Yeah. Mine is actually a fact, my first one. Very short. It's that every time I eat a mint, I sneeze.
Okay.
I wish it wasn't true.
Yeah.
But every time I eat a mint,
You sneeze.
Whether that's an allergic reaction or what, I don't know.
Do you want me to have a guess now?
No. Save it for the end.
I will bear that in mind.
Because we'll pricey each of them at the end, and then we'll have to. Yeah. Yeah. So you can launch into your second one. I'm done with my first. Just like that.
That was quick, wasn't it? Yes. My second one is that I once took part in a radio soap opera as a camp Scottish shopkeeper.
Oh, definitely true.
And this camp Scottish shopkeeper was, shall we say, it was camp but angry, and berated the customers in his shop. And this radio soap went out for about 6 weeks.
Right.
Okay.
How good are you at doing a Scottish accent? That's quite a tough one. Okay.
I'm giving nothing away by doing one now. So what you're saying is, you know I can do camp, but not necessarily
exactly.
Scottish.
But can you do the two together? Exactly. Yeah. Shopkeeper, easy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I'm inclined to think so far that the first one was true and the second one, I don't know so much. Anyway, I'll move on to my second one.
Okay.
And this is when I went to stay in the flat with one of my children. And they had several housemates, one of whom was quite obnoxious. They didn't like him. I didn't like him. And we were going to go out for the day. And he had come in and he'd left his wallet on the side of the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided between us, my child and I,
my child.
No names, because he might give it away, to actually hide his wallet.
Right.
We thought this would be fun. This would be a good prank because we don't like him. So we tucked it under the sofa seat and we went out giggling, thinking, ha ha, he'll have to search all round the house to find it. We went out for the day. We came back in the evening and discovered that he had virtually turned the place upside down, hadn't found the wallet, had rung his bank, cancelled all his cards, and really been put to quite severe difficulties because we played this prank on him, and we both felt quite guilty. So that's why it's an I wish I hadn't.
Okay, now I knowing you and your family, I'm inclined to almost immediately say true, true, because I know the sort of sense of humour that your family have and yourself, because I've known you a long time.
Mm.
So I'm veering towards the veracity of that one at the moment.
Okay.
I have to say.
Well,
okay.
Right. So you've got number three coming.
I've got number three coming up. Yes, and number three is that I nearly drowned in Greece. My life flashed before my eyes, and okay. I didn't think I was going to be around for very much longer. I had, should we say, I'd partaken of a beer or two, mm-hmm. and was on a boat trip, and the boat captain said, I won't do the Greek accent, but he basically said...
please do. Could you do the accent as a camp Scottish,
no, it would,
Scottish
it'd be
shopkeeper?
Cultural appropriation, and I'd be in trouble for it. No, but basically the gist of what he said was, look, here we are, we're moored here. There's a little beach over there, which is a nice sandy beach. If you, anybody who wants to swim to it and just have a little walk round, you've got about half an hour, and then you can swim back, and we'll be off again. And I looked at it, and having, as I say, partaken of a drink, thought, that's pretty close, I can do that. And whatever happens, it'll be getting shallower as I get towards there, no problem at all. So I did. And I swam quite reasonably. I'm not a great swimmer, but I swam to this beach, had a walk round, it was nice. And I sort of thought, well, that's pleasant, that. After about 10, 15 minutes or so, I thought, well, I better swim back now. So I decided to swim back, not realising that the boat had drifted on its anchor away from the shore. So the swim back was probably about half as far again, or seemed half as far again, as the initial swim into shore.
Mm.
Which meant that, being not a great swimmer, I got about halfway, well out of my depth, and thought, I'm out of breath, I can't go any further, I don't think I can swim back. And I literally sort of tried to turn over on my back, started hyperventilating, and because you can't suddenly breathe slowly and deeply when you're panicking.
No.
And luckily, because I was not exactly going down for the third time, but I'd taken in quite a bit of water and I was feeling absolutely exhausted.
A porpoise saved you.
No porpoise was involved in this story. But actually, a burly Greek sailor was.
Ah.
Because a burly Greek sailor was alerted to my plight because someone saw me, dived off the boat and swam, you know, rapidly towards me. And put, having removed a sort of a life boat, not a lifeboat, what the,
life
the,
belt?
The life belt, life ring, rubber, a ring,
yeah.
from a topless old woman who was bathing at the side of the boat,
uh-huh,
with her spaniel's ears. He removed this from her, so she started to sink down, but someone grabbed her and put her back on the boat. He swam strongly to me, and put the rubber ring thing on me, and luckily, you know, saved me and dragged me back. It's very embarrassing being dragged back through the water on your back with a rubber ring under your arms by a burly Greek sailor.
Yeah, a lot of people would pay money for that, wouldn't they?
They would, but I actually did think this is it. I'm going under, and nobody's seen me.
Okay.
Fortunately, they had.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you didn't perish in a Greek.
Good story, but is it true?
Well, we're going to come to that judgment in a
minute.
So my third story is when I worked in an office block, which I think you visited, didn't you?
Yes, I did. IBC.
Yeah, that's right. IBC, there were many floors,
mm-hmm,
and on each floor were various magazines, and you know, a lift shaft,
mm-hmm,
and toilets on each floor, we amongst the magazine staff, we didn't like the editor,
mm-hmm,
so we thought we would again pay another prank on the editor, and somebody brought in a laxative which was put into the editor's coffee.
Okay.
And then we put on the toilet door, out of order, went up one floor by the stairs and put on the toilet door, the floor above, out of order, went down one floor and put on the toilet door, out of order, and then sat back
to watch,
to enjoy the performance. So that's my three.
That's your three.
It's kind of an I wish I hadn't, because you know it is quite mean, but it was funny at the time.
So what we need a quick précis of
so
our
you've got
various,
for me that yeah. I sneeze every mm-hmm. time I eat a mint.
Yeah.
That I and one of my children hid the wallet of one of their flatmates, which caused them severe financial difficulties.
Right.
Or we spiked the editor's coffee with a laxative and then made things worse for them by putting out of order on all the toilet doors at the floor right. we were on, and the two up and down. Yeah.
I mean, if I look, take them one at a time. Now, the mint one, when you sneeze when you eat a mint, I'm going to say, you don't have to tell me yet, but I'm going to say that's true, basically because the same thing happens to me.
Oh, really?
Indeed. In fact, polos, okay. smints, anything like that, if I have one in the car, I will almost certainly sneeze. Now, if it turns out not to be true, then all I can say is, you're very lucky, because it happens to me.
Okay.
Just to say, mint has that effect on me. So I'm going to say, almost certainly, that's true.
Okay.
As I said to you, I know you and your family, and the credit cards and bank cards and financial hardships for the poor person who couldn't find their wallet. I think you're cruel enough to do that, you see.
I think
you would do it with you know, the best intentions. Ha ha, what a bit of fun.
Exactly.
Here's your wallet sort of thing. But it could easily go wrong.
Yeah.
The editor and the laxative, I feel like I'm watching a 1970s comedy with Robin Asquith in at the moment. But from that whole storyline.
Yeah, there are no naked women.
So that's all it needed. All you needed to say then was, and then
a topless woman
came exactly. running down saying, oh no, the toilets are out of order.
Yeah.
So my guess for your lie is the final one that you came up with, which was the editor and the laxative.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
Ah.
Because that was somebody else. It did happen.
Yes.
It did happen.
But it wasn't you.
But it wasn't me who did it. No. So now I've got to judge yours. Can you just run through your three again?
The first one was, I think, being held at gunpoint.
Yes.
In the Air Force Academy.
Yes.
The second one was the
Camp
Scottish shopkeeper on a radio soap opera. And the third one was nearly drowning. Greece.
Okay. Now, I know that the first one, I know that you spent some time in America, mm-hmm. and I can easily imagine that happening with such an unpredictable country. The second one, I know you've always had these sort of connections with drama and things like that, but that seems the least likely. The third one, I do know actually that you mentioned that before.
Ah.
Yeah. So I know that that is true.
Yep.
I think that the first one is also probably true, and I think your lie is the Camp Scottish
shopkeeper. The Camp Scottish shopkeeper. What a shame! Again, you're absolutely spot on. Now, the first one, that did happen to me in America, and I did nearly drown in Greece. The one that's a lie is a sort of is something that almost happened, but it was slightly different than that, because I didn't play a camp Scottish shopkeeper in a radio soap. It was a little bit of a radio soap, but it was very, very localized in the Birmingham area, in part of Birmingham. Someone was doing a project, and they said to my wife and myself, can you come along and just read some of these scripts? And I was in fact a scouse father,
okay,
rather than a camp Scottish shopkeeper.
I'd
have preferred to be the camp Scottish shopkeeper.
I would listen to that any day of the week.
Who got angry with anybody buying things in his shop.
Yeah.
I think that would have been quite pleasant, really.
Yeah.
So
if we're going to have the genie, do you want the genie to remove?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, it would have to be the drowning one, because it frightened me. It frightened me a lot at the time.
You were frightened with the gunpoint.
I was frightened with the gunpoint one, but I know that that ended happily. And at the time, I remember thinking, I haven't done anything wrong.
Mm.
You know, I haven't got like three sweatshirts in a bag that I haven't paid for. I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. I knew there had to be some sort of mix-up.
Mm.
I mean, what goes through your mind is, do I look like public enemy number one? Have they got on a wanted list?
You know, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, believe me, he looks like public enemy number one. Scarface, as we call him.
It's the stub of a cigar in my mouth and the fedora. And
exactly, and the submachine gun that you carry around with you.
The violin case, the white tie and the black shirt.
That's it,
Apart from that, no connection at all.
No.
So it would have to be the drowning one, because it did affect my enjoyment of the water after that. I mean, in fact, I was never a strong swimmer, but I'm even more concerned about anything that's slightly out of my depth.
You do have a fondness for burly Greek.
And it has left me with this penchant for burly Greek sailors.
Yeah.
Matelots.
Well, as for me, I mean, you know, the sneezing after a mint is annoying.
Mm.
It doesn't stop me eating mints. But in fact, it's very interesting that you share that.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Because
it always amuses my family, because they give me mint and then wait until here it comes. But I do feel rather ashamed about having hidden the wallet, because it was, you know, we just thought it would be something that he found after about 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
And it caused a lot of problems, and so we actually did feel a bit embarrassed about that. So that's the one I'd like the genie to remove.
The genie to remove, I mean, that's fair.
The genie
enough,
entered the room and said, no, don't do that.
Do you think that our mint sneezing episodes have anything to do with our upbringing in the Dorset air?
Must be.
Particular age range that it affected
there's
us.
There's a scientific
one.
Paper to be written on that, isn't there?
It certainly is, yes.
But not by me.
No. How would you do your control experiment? Would you sort of take a packet of polos up onto Egerton or something like
that? Yes, probably. And just have people file up there, you know, and test them. Somebody with a stopwatch to see how long it took them to sneeze. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an interesting sort of 16 minutes or so.
It was filled with a bit of fun. Yes.
Yeah. Something a bit different.
Yeah. And I wonder if our dedicated listener. We'll guess which of the three was correct.
Before we get to it, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll keep going, churning them out.
Churning them out, and we may well at some point return to this if people like it, and, and if they don't, we'll probably return to it anyway.
Probably will, like a dog to its vomit. Yeah,
like a dog to its vomit. Brilliant.
Well, that was actually quite successful,